You know, already this morning, you've heard Psalm 23 in all the songs that Jake and Hannah wrote and the kids were singing, and you've heard Psalm 23 there. You heard it just in the skit, and now we're doing a message on Psalm 23. And so, you know, they say repetition is the key to learning, and they also say that, well, repetition is the key to learning, and the key to learning is repetition. So we're doing good here. So we're going to work our way through Psalm 23. And because, you know, hey, parents, everyone else here, this is a great psalm. So it will be on the screen, but also if you want to, it is in the bulletin if you want to look there or in the Word of God in a paper Bible or something, that is great. We're just going to jump right into it. You know, the very beginning, verse 1, there's six verses in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, I think this is the most important verse in Psalm 23 because this sets up everything else. Everything else is just unpacking the meaning of this. And think of what this is saying. Just first of all, the Lord is my shepherd. If you had something different there instead of Lord, this wouldn't make sense. If it was just like, Dave is my shepherd, well, that's great, but this is the Lord. To have the Lord be your shepherd. And notice, too, it's written in all upper cases, L-O-R-D, all, like, capital letters. And in Bibles, when they do that, it's letting us know that in Hebrew, this was written in Hebrew 3,000 years ago by David, that this is the sacred name for God. And in Hebrew, it's four letters. We pronounce it maybe Yahweh. And this is the way that God, the God of the Bible, has revealed himself. And so when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he said, I am who I am. This is the name that is related to that. So this isn't just some random God, some false God, some imagined God, but the actual God of the Bible, the one who created and parted the Red Sea, he is our shepherd. And that's what David is saying. That's what makes it so amazing. I said this is written by David. Remember, David actually was a shepherd. So he knows a thing or two about what shepherds do. And they watch over the sheep. They care for the sheep. They feed the sheep. They protect the sheep from wolves and from predators. When sheep get stuck, they help them. When they need medical care, they take care of them. And he's saying that the Lord is the one that is a shepherd like that to me. And then he says, I shall not want. And that's where we have to think, what does this mean? If you really read this too quickly, you say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want him. I don't want him to be my shepherd. That's the opposite of what this is saying. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want is one of those words that's kind of changed meaning in English over the years. And today we say, like, I want ice cream. You know, I want to have this. But that's not what this meant when they translated this from Hebrew to English. It means that you lack something that you need. Okay, so if somebody is in want of clothing, it means they don't have the clothing they need. Or want of food, it means they don't have the food that they need. So he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything that I need. The message here is that God always provides me with everything that I really need. There might be some things that we want in the way that we use the word want, but that we don't necessarily need. But God knows what is actually good for us and what is really important, and he provides those things for us. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I've read that it's actually pretty hard to make sheep lie down. They don't naturally want to do that. Years ago, there was a guy that was a literal shepherd for a number of years in Philip Keller, and he wrote a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And in that, he said that there are four things that need to take place for a sheep to be willing to lie down, four things that need to be provided for the sheep. First of all, they need to be free from fear. So if they're afraid that they're going to be attacked, they're not going to lie down. They're going to stay standing up so they can get away. They also need to be free from friction, from like conflict, worried about like, you know, conflict from the other sheep. Are they going to get headbutted by another sheep coming up from behind or attacked in that way? If they're worried about that, they're not going to lie down. They also need to be free from from flies and parasites and things like that that would irritate them. And finally, they need to be free from hunger. Or if you want to have four F words, you would have, they need to be free from fear, friction, flies, and famine. And so the Lord, because he takes care of us, makes it so that we can lie down and think of what that means, to lie down. We have a cat at home, and his name is, it was a cat that we were supposed to just foster for a while, but he ended up being a foster fail because we kept him. And his name is Swiss Roll, and he's only ever lived at our house his whole life, and so he lives a pretty chill life. And so this is our cat, Swiss Roll. And this is how he spends most of his days, like this. Let me ask you, is this a cat that looks like he's worried about a lot of things? Does he look like he's really guarded there because he might be attacked? You know, it just reminds me of what's saying here, the Lord, because he's our shepherd, he makes us so we can lie down. It gives us safety, a sense of security. There might still be dangers in this world, but we know that he is with us, and therefore we can have that rest in the Lord. And that goes along with what it says also, when it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. Notice it's green pastures, it's not desert. Okay, there's a lot of desert and wilderness and places out there. David was writing this in Israel, which, from what I understand, it's not all green pastures everywhere. Actually, I've never been there, but actually the church is sending my wife Hope and I to Israel. So we're headed there for next Thursday we leave. You can be praying for us. You know, things are a little weird, but the Lord is our shepherd, and he will watch over us. But we'll see how many green pastures are there. But if you have green pastures, that's a place where the sheep can eat, because they eat the grass. Okay, so that's a good place to be. And besides still waters, that it's easy to drink. It doesn't scare the sheep. It's calm. It can also be translated water of rest. So the Lord is our shepherd, and the Lord gives me safety and rest in him. And again, that doesn't mean there's no danger in the world. We're going to see even in the psalm, it recognizes that there's dark valleys, but the Lord is with us, and that's what changes everything if you have him as your shepherd. And verse 3 goes on and says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores our soul. It can mean he repairs it. He heals it. He rebuilds it. And we need that because we are sinners. And as we just saw in the skit, that even after becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you're free from sin. You know, we still have sin in our hearts, different things. The Lord is, if you're a real Christian, the Lord is changing you from the inside out, but there's still going to be things you struggle with. There's still going to be times where you realize you fail, when we measure ourselves to God's word and realize, oh, what have I done? And we can turn to him, and the same way the Lord that saved us because Jesus died on the cross for us is going to be there for us. You know, the Bible is real clear that we do have a sin problem. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it's saying both that we are all sinners, you are, I am, I definitely know I am, but also the message of the gospel is that God, the Father, has laid our sin on Jesus Christ. That's who Isaiah was talking about, the Messiah who was to come, and for us has come. And so we can go to him, and he forgives us, and he even restores us and cleanses us afterwards. He leads us in paths of righteousness. If you follow him, he will lead you on the right path. He doesn't lead you into sin. It doesn't mean it's always going to be an easy path. It doesn't say that. But it's going to be paths that are good and right in his eyes, the way that he decides and determines what is really right. And then it says, for his name's sake. We would think if we were writing this, well, he does it for us. And he does it for us. But this says even more, he does it for his name's sake, which is a way of saying for his glory. If you're a shepherd, the way that you take care of the sheep, your reputation is on the line. And so God, as our Father, as our shepherd, takes care of us, knowing that his reputation is on the line with us. And so God is going to be glorified in the way that he takes care of and cares for his sheep. He cares for us. And God's glory is actually the ultimate thing, the most valuable thing in the universe, because God deserves that glory. And it's also the source of our utmost happiness when we make him our treasure. So in all these things, we see the Lord, he heals me spiritually, and he guides me to what is right. And it's all for his glory. He heals us, forgiveness when we turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I hope that you have. Because the biggest thing is the Lord your shepherd? Or are you still one of the sheep that have been astray? And he wants you to turn to him, recognizing that Jesus is the one that paid the price for our forgiveness. And even after we goof up in this life and we sin, we can keep coming to him because he's our Father. He cares for us. And he'll keep cleansing us of all unrighteousness. And that's just a beautiful thing. But I said, he doesn't always lead us in the easy path. Sometimes he does lead us in valleys and in really tough things. And verse 4 is really honest about that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Philip Keller in his book says that sheep in Israel, especially in ancient times, maybe today too, they would have different pasture land in the winter and in the summer because of the climate and the heat and where the grass and the food is. And so in the winter, they would be in the lowlands, but then in the summer, they would need to go up into the highland valley areas and for food and for safety, and there was still grass, you know, there. And to get there, a lot of times they had to go through different valleys. And some of these would be not gigantic wide valleys, but they could be narrow crevices and different things that the shepherd was leading the sheep through to get them to where they needed to be. But with that, there would be different crevices and, you know, little caves and things like that, and there could be wild animals in there. There could be robbers that would be waiting to ambush people. And also, it'd be dark in there a lot of times because the cliff walls would have literal shadows. In Hebrew, it literally could be translated the valley of death darkness. And so it's a scary place. But we can remember what this is saying is that even in those places, the Lord your shepherd is with you. He's with you even in your most dangerous situations. And you can say with David, even in the most dangerous situations, I know that my Lord God will watch over me and he'll protect me. He'll care for me. But notice God doesn't always keep you out of those dangerous situations. He doesn't keep you out of the scary situations, but he'll be with you, and that changes everything. I mean, if you had to go down a dark alley, that'd be a scary thing. But if you walked down that dark alley with an armed police officer, you would feel a lot more brave. And this is going through life and going through these valleys with the Lord God. And it says his rod and staff, they comfort me, that he has this. The rod was more like a kind of like a mace or a club that it was a weapon to beat off the wolves and the enemies. And the staff for leaning on and giving comfort. And so even in the valleys, God is with us there. And then verse 5, this kind of changes the metaphor probably. Some have said that maybe this is talking about the tablelands, you know, different places, but it seems like it's more that he's shifting it to like being a guest in someone's house. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So again, these are things that the Lord does for us that we can cherish and that we can really think about, you know, a table. So there's food, there's provision, there is also hospitality. And also in the Near East, in that culture, if you had somebody over and they were your honored guest at a banquet, you were responsible to guarantee their safety and to make sure that nothing bad would happen to them. So this also means, again, that God is saying, I'm guaranteeing your safety. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you the things that you need and give you this abundantly. as well. And it says, in the presence of my enemies. First, it seems like, well, that's kind of a scary thing. I don't want to be in the presence of my enemies. They're going to attack me. But God is guaranteeing our safety. But really what this is, I think, saying is that there's a lot of times where there's people that are against us. David had people that were against him, that wanted to dishonor him, to bring him shame, to attack him in those ways, and to have the Lord set up this table where the enemies are seeing this and watching. It's showing that God is honoring him despite what everyone else in the world might be saying about him. And that's something that the Lord does for us as well, that you might have everyone in the world that is dishonoring you, that is trying to shame you, but you can have the Lord reversing that and giving you honor. It's like, today maybe be like saying, you know, I'm going to give you a medal in the presence of all those that are against you, and they got to watch you get this medal. And we're going to throw a parade for you, and they have to all watch you get this parade, reversing your humiliation to honor. The Lord will turn my humiliation into victory instead. And he says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, that seems from a different culture. You know, how many of you, when you have a guest over, are like, would you like some oil? Anointing your head. Although I did realize after I was thinking about this, I literally do anoint my head with oil every single day. Old Spice beard oil. That's right. Yes, I'll accept that. But you know, in those days, oil was used for everything from as a medicine. It was dry a lot of times, so it would be like having really nice kind of lotion. This is a real form of hospitality to give this to someone. You know, they would also use it to anoint kings and all kinds of different things. So no matter what it's getting at, it's indicating you're treating someone well if you're anointing their head with oil. And again, this is saying this is what God, as our shepherd, does for us. And what a beautiful thing that is. And your cup overflows. You may not like it if your toilet's overflowing, but if your cup is overflowing, it means it's filled to the brim. You don't have a shortage. And God is taking care of you and taking care of you well. And then finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's not just about being having these good things happen in this life. That's part of it. You know, when you turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, and you are adopted as his child. He becomes your shepherd, and that's going to be true all the days of this life. It's something that he's never going to abandon you. He's never going to take that away. And it's not just for this life, though. This is just the beginning, because it stretches into all eternity. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we look forward to heaven. This, and then the new earth, when the Lord comes back and brings justice and everything to this world. This life, as we go through different valleys, is so small compared to eternity. But through all of it, the Lord will be with you and be your shepherd and care for you in all of these different ways. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, sometimes we refer to, you know, church as the Lord's house. We don't live in temples anymore because we are the temple. The Holy Spirit is within us. But we gather together. And I hope that, I'm glad that you're here this morning. And if you are a member of another solid church and actually involved in there, be involved there. If you're looking for a church, or if you're not right now real involved in a solid church where you're learning scripture, hey, we would love to have you here. Next week, Pastor Zach, who the kids have been hearing from all week, he's going to be doing another psalm for the next two different weeks. We'd love to have you back. We'd love to have you dwell in this sense, the house of the Lord, as we get ready for the house of the Lord one day. The final question again, that's so important to really understand, will you be with the Lord in this life and forevermore? All depends on this question. Is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Not just the shepherd or the shepherd of other people, but yours. And the New Testament, at one point, Jesus said this in John chapter 10, 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. So he's not an inadequate shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a really good shepherd. He's good morally. He's good at being a shepherd. He will take care of you in all these ways and more. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's how much this shepherd loves you, that he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to go there to take the consequences, the guilt of our sin, of your sin, on the cross, and give you the gift of his perfect righteousness, so that if you accept this trade by God's grace, and you receive it by just faith, it's not by works, it's just by faith, that God, when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to your account, and your sins paid for in full on the cross. What a beautiful thing. And you'll know for sure that all these words in Psalm 23 are true for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for these beautiful and awesome words in Psalm 23. And thank you, most of all, for you being our shepherd. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd and who laid down his life for us, sheep that had gone astray, and was raised from the dead and is king forever. And we long for his return. Thank you that he is available and willing for anyone that will turn to him in repentant faith, Lord God. And I ask that you be working in people's hearts now. May they turn to you. May you keep working in their lives, Lord God. May they talk to someone if they have questions about this, Lord God. But be at work and help us all to believe the words of Psalm 23, that you are our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.